Good morning. We're here today to discuss bridging interfaith differences and creating interfaith dialogues. And I have here with me today the Reverend Joe Hensley, rector of St. George's Episcopal Church, and the Reverend Gay Ron, but also from St. George's Episcopal Church in downtown Fredericksburg, and Sheikh Rashid, who's the imam of the Islamic Ummah of Fredericksburg. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate you coming in. This is an exciting topic to me. I know you had an activity earlier this year that kind of inspired a continuing dialogue between you all. And I wanted to, the activity was a Sunday afternoon gathering at St. George's Episcopal Church, in which various religious leaders and community leaders gathered, and a lot of residents came to hear a talk about why bridging religious differences is more important than ever. And Gay, you were very instrumental in setting that up. Tell us what inspired you and how it came about.
We had invited Maureen Fiedler, who has a program on public radio called Interfaith Voices. And with her coming, we decided that it was important to open it up and have a Sunday afternoon conversation with people of different faiths.
And who were the main people there that afternoon during the presentations?
Well, it was the three of us and Aaron Dobines, who's the new pastor at Shiloh Old Site,
who's actually coming in to join us right now. Come on in as we continue the conversation. And who else was there then?
We also had Rabbi Jeremy Weisblatt, who is the rabbi of the Beth Shalom Synagogue here in Fredericksburg. And our Catherine Maresca, who is a theologian. She's a Roman Catholic theologian. Really interested in the theology of children and how children learn to bridge religious differences. She was really interesting to hear her talking about how children learn about differences and how children are really able to reach across those differences, and was telling us some ways that we can help our children.
Now, after that was very successful, there were a lot of people in attendance, but that wasn't the end of it. What happened after that Sunday, after you all had come together? Someone jump in. I know it's hard when there's four. It's like, who's going next?
Rabbi Jeremy kind of jumped in. He wrote a letter and sent it to the rest of us who were on the panel and said, what do you think? Could we publish this as a letter to the editor? We had said that particular day, this can't be it. We have to continue the conversation. And so I was very thankful that Jeremy put pen to paper, so to speak, and got us rolling.
Because what I actually prompted initially in our get-together in the program, I mentioned that we've been talking the talk, but we need to walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, Christian ministers have been saying, and Jewish rabbis have been saying, they support the Muslims, and they believe Islam is a peaceful religion. They are not in accord with those who actually encourage Islamophobia in America. And so I said, if we are saying this, that we are in support, then we need to do something to let the public know that we really support Muslims and we want to work together. And that is when he said the letter is actually there, and we can look at it and do the editing and finally get it published so others can see that the religious leadership is actually in support of an interfaith where religions can work together and bring about the much-hankered peace.
And that letter was first published in the Freelance Star as a letter more to the community than to the editor. And it has been republished this morning on Fredericksburg Today Online News. It'll be shared on Facebook pages. You can go to the Facebook page of 1230 WFVA to see it later today. But in part, it started with to our beloved Fredericksburg community. And I'm going to skip parts of it and just go to this. Today we say no more. Today we say we are here. Today we say the following. We, Jewish, Christian and Muslim clergy are standing together, hand in hand, working to bring another dream deferred into reality. We hereby declare in one voice the following. We stand together and condemn all forms of hatred and violent acts against our fellow brothers and sisters. And then you all had signed that letter. And the letter isn't even the end of it either. How is this continuing in your lives and in your congregations?
It's extremely necessary that clergy come together to put their voices and their feet together, not just on paper, but with all of our actions, with all of our being, to say to the rest of the world that our faith has to have feet. There's an African proverb that says, when you pray, move your feet. So it's about action. It's about changing negative action and enforcing positive action. It's about asserting our faith, making our faith move from our temples, from our mosques, from our churches, and hit the streets. And so we're banding together, rather, so that our constituents and others will know that we won't stand for bigotry. There's too much of a negative history behind all faiths, for the most part, of perpetrating faith behind a legacy of bigotry. We see a lot of that even today. So there's never been a better time for us to make a statement.
This isn't the first time you all personally are involved in interfaith dialogue. You each have a backstory to something in your life that brought you to this point. And if you could one by one share that. And Sheikh Rashid, would you be willing to start and tell your story about how this dialogue has, how your life has brought you to this point?
Actually, I'm motivated by two issues. One is historical, looking at the history of the Abrahamic faith, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Historically, they have embroiled in many skirmishes, some of them ending up in the Crusades and all that. We have reached a peak and pinnacle of maturity where this should be put behind us. The world has seen so many changes where even apartheid has been dismantled. Racism is almost ended. It's coming to an end, if I can say that. And so religious bodies need to come together to work together towards a fruitful end. Number two, the aggregate of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam actually is up to about one-third of the world population. If we represent one-third of the global population, then understanding that our provenance is all Abrahamic, we all come from the Abrahamic root. And the major edict in our religions is loving thy neighbor as you love yourself. So if we have this, can't we really make some noise, a peaceful noise, noise that can push the world towards recognizing that working together and avoiding fighting each other will be the best in the 21st century. And number three, when I started my career as an imam in Sterling, 2004, I worked hard with the Washington, D.C. Peace Corps, the interfaith community. And then after that, I went on to Prince William County, that is the MAV, Muslim Association of Virginia, where I became a member of the city of Virginia.
It's
the city of Virginia, Richmond, the interfaith body in Richmond. I was actually invited to be a member. And we work towards actually making all religions come together in order to stop the hatred and the backstabbing, the mistrust and distrust. It is growing. So when I move on to Fredericksburg here, I felt this is the greatest opportunity because Fredericksburg has a history, a great history, that it is the state that started religious freedom. And I participated in the march. I said, this is a great opportunity. We can forge better interfaith relationship where we can get together and have Muslims, Christians, and Jewish come together and move the world in Fredericksburg towards peace. At least we can start somewhere. And since we have this religious history here, it is great to start right from here. So for me, it is not just talking the talk, but we need to have programs that can help us recognize one another so that in future, the Islam against Christianity, Christianity against Judaism will come to an end.
We're going to take a break right now. You all are raising your hands to share so much, and we are going to come back and talk about interfaith relations and how to bridge differences with the Reverend Joe Hensley and the Reverend Gay Ron, both from St. George's Episcopal Church, Sheikh Rashid from the Islamic Ummah of Fredericksburg, and Reverend Dr. Aaron, oh, help me here.
Longo Dobine.
Dobines, thank you, from Shiloh Baptist Church Old Site. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Good morning again. We're having a dialogue today about interfaith relations and how to bridge differences. We have Sheikh Rashid from the Islamic Ummah of Fredericksburg, Reverend Joe Hensley, and Reverend Gay Ron from St. George's Episcopal Church, and Reverend Dr. Aaron Dobines from Shiloh Baptist Church Old Site. We were continuing now to talk about backstories, about what in your personal life got you to the point of interfaith dialogue as it is now. And Joe, you were going to go next.
I think I kind of backed into interfaith dialogue more through relationships and less through kind of an initial passion of its importance. I actually dated a woman in college who was Jewish, and that opened my eyes to a lot of things that I hadn't seen before. I grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina, had Jewish friends growing up, but didn't know a lot about Judaism. And through that relationship, began to learn more and began to be more curious about Judaism. Later developed a relationship with a retired rabbi who's been my friend now for over 20 years, and he and I continue to meet on a weekly basis through Skype now because he lives – I just came up here to Fredericksburg from the Triangle area of North Carolina. We meet by Skype, and he is very patient with me as we make our way through the Hebrew Scriptures together. But a lot of times those Monday morning conversations will go to what's going on in our congregations and what's going on in the life of the world. I get an insight into where he's coming from. He gets an insight into where I'm coming from. And I find those conversations have been very rich for me. And it's those relationships that then lead me to say, first of all, I want other people to have those kinds of relationships. I want other people to see that there are opportunities to learn and to grow through interactions with people of other faiths. But then getting back to what Sheikh Rashid said, you know, that there is really an urgency for peace, you know, that and to me that has become more now a part of my desire to be a part of this, is that desire for peace, not just between me and others, but in the whole world. One other thing that happened to me recently, before I came up here, I had the opportunity to visit with an Islamic center in Cary, North Carolina. They were hosting anyone who wanted to come, as they were having the month of Ramadan, their fast. Every evening they would break the fast, and they would invite anyone from the community who wanted to come and learn about Islam, to come and learn a little bit, and then to eat a lot. It was a wonderful feast, you know, to break that day of fasting, and I was so inspired by that, and I was beginning to form, you know, just in that one evening, you know, saw the opportunity to form relationships with people. So, just for me, it's about those relationships that then takes me to the larger global level.
Reverend Dobynes, what is it for you? What's your backstory for interfaith dialogue?
I guess you can say it's in my DNA. I'm from Perry County, Alabama, which is a neighboring area to Selma. My father, the Reverend O.C. Dobynes, who yet lives, and my uncle, his brother, the Reverend James Dobynes, Korean War and World War II vets, they were a part of the Bloody Sunday events, and they were a part of the march from Selma to Montgomery. And my father continues as a retired pastor to be on the front line about bringing humanity together. And so as a student of what my father was about and Dr. King and others, I saw Christians on both sides of the issue. I saw people who were for the rights of all human beings to be included in the human family. I saw other people carrying the cross, yet bastardizing the word of God, as I understand it, to eliminate people from the family of God. And so following that example and seeing that a person's faith is really about one's action. Mm-hmm. It's about being a brother, being a sister to other people. I think about the parable that Jesus tells of the so-called Good Samaritan. And he says at the end that the Samaritan that the people in the who were there primarily despised, Jesus raises him up as a hero and says, this is the one whose example we ought to follow. And so those things, among many, are the inspiration for me to reach beyond my comfort zone, to make the extra, go the extra mile, take the extra step, to embrace the family of God, which knows no bounds. We have more in common than we have those things that are different. I often say the blood that unites us is thicker than the water that divides us. Mm-hmm. We need to get beyond labels and see what areas that we can agree upon. I think because all of us want the same thing. We want a safe world, as Jeremy just mentioned. We want a world where our children can have opportunity. We want to leave it better than we found it. And so there are things that need to be done and some hard conversations that need to be had. Some real dialogue, some real people of God willing to think outside of the box and not draw these lines in the sand. How can we embrace one another in this Abrahamic mm-hmm. faith, as Sheikh mentioned, and how can we really take our faith from the synagogue, from the church, from the mosque, and put it into action?
And what about you, Gay?
Well, like Aaron, it's probably also in my DNA. I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, has the second oldest synagogue in the United States. And my very first date to my very first dance was my boyfriend, who was Jewish. So it goes on and on for me. I was in Dalton, Georgia, at a church when the great tragedy of 9/11 happened. And there we had a small Muslim community, and we met and gathered together and began hard conversations. When I moved to Fredericksburg, and this is the beginning of a good joke, is there was a three women, myself, a priest, Manira, a Muslim, and Devorah, a rabbi, and we got together to eat. And invited friends, and we called our little group the Clean Plate Club. And we would gather and talk about how we were so much alike with our different religions, and trying the very, very hard and having a wonderful time doing it, trying to hear the perspective of the other. So it's just been a wonderful relationship and friendship. And then on one of the anniversaries of 9/11, we got together and said, we've got to have a prayer service. And it was the year when the mosque controversy about being built near the Twin Towers. And the wonderful thing about that is we thought there would be a few of us gathered, and it turned out to be so many people from the city of Fredericksburg. And we thought, here again, we've got to keep this conversation going. So, and then I have a passion for children. And their openness and their willingness to learn from another and be with another is part of what drives me to continue this conversation.
We've been listening now to these four backstories to how interfaith dialogue in their growing up years, and that's Reverend Joe Hensley from St. George's Episcopal Church, Reverend Gay Ron, St. George's, Sheikh Rashid from the Islamic Ummah of Fredericksburg, and Reverend Aaron Dobines from Shiloh Baptist Church, Old Site. You've been listening to their backstories on, and we're going to come back and hear about how those backstories and a session, a meeting they had earlier this year is inspiring them and inspiring the city of Fredericksburg. You're listening to Town Talk on WFVA News Talk 1230. We'll be right back. We're back discussing interfaith relations and how to bridge differences. And Rabbi Jeremy Weisblatt of the synagogue here in town was very instrumental in this whole discussion that happened at St. George's Episcopal Church and the follow-up letter. And Joe, you were talking about just having breakfast with him last week and what's transpired there.
He actually hangs out in Hyperion one morning a month and coffee with the rabbi, he calls it, and for members of his congregation. But I stopped by and we had a nice chat. And to me, that's a really important part of how this goes forward, is that we have to get to know one another. And a lot of times that does happen over a cup of coffee or a meal or really kind of knowing one another's story as well as working together. I think that one of the things that we'd like to see happen is the formation of an interfaith group of clergy that we get together on a regular basis to talk about, to get to know one another, talk about things. And I recognize I'm new in town, that there are already clergy here who've been about that in the past. And but wanting to get that going again.
And the five of you have kind of solidified that and would like to see that growing.
Mm-hmm.
And what about for the community itself?
There are a number of things that the community can do to get involved. There's the National Day of Prayer on May 7th. There are opportunities that we look at in the paper and hear about, and we have to step outside of our comfort zones to do what, particularly as a Christian, the things that Jesus did. He went to Samaria. He went to be among the lepers. He went to the least, the last, the lost, the locked up and locked out, and made himself available. If we're going to be his emissaries, his representatives in this world, we can't just hang around Christians. The example of Jesus is that he went other places to other people, and we have to do the same.
And Joe, you were talking about be aware.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Well, I think for people who are saying that, well, I'm not a clergy person, I don't know anybody who's different from, how do I get to know people who are different? I think you have to pay attention and just try to show up. I noticed in today's paper in the Weekender, there was an announcement. There's a lecture happening tonight at Mary Washington. A young woman who's a Muslim journalist is going to talk, and there's free food.
Thumbs up.
So being willing to show up at something like that where you don't know anybody and maybe you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you're there. And in my experience, when I go to things like that, I always meet somebody, and there's a way to form a connection.
Yeah, you had something.
Well, one of the ways that we have worked together in the community is Fredericksburg has received a lot of refugees. Mm-hmm. And we have come together for the last 6 or 7 years. The interfaith community has come together to work together to help our refugee community. Tutoring, with English, with sewing, with knitting, with art. There are so many ways that Fredericksburg community has reached out to those who are coming from all parts of the world.
It's really about relationships, whether you're going to hear a lecture or volunteering or shake. There's something coming up that at the UMA that you wanted to tell us about. There's something coming up at the UMA.
Sure, we planning to have a Friday prayer where we'll invite all the Christian ministers and those members of the Christian community, in the interfaith community, who would like to participate, to be there to witness our worship and then have food after that with them. Sure.
So that's an opportunity if someone has never been to an Islamic service, to see what actually happens and to be a part of that experience.
Sure, we like to open our masajids, our mosques, for them to come in and be a part of the community, because they are our closest neighbor. And our prophet says that for you to love your neighbor than yourself is one of the highest standards of being a Muslim.
Do you have a date for that yet?
No, we've not actually set the date, and we're planning on setting the date very soon.
And we'll have that on Fredericksburg Today Online News and also on WFVA's Facebook page. So we'll get that information out to everyone.
Well, another thing is our teenagers are going to be working together to do one of the community meals. St. George's, as well as so many of the downtown churches, offer a meal each night of the week. And our night is Monday night. And so the teenagers from the UMA are coming, and we're going to be cooking together and serving together.
That is one of the programs of I wanted to talk about that, but since you said it, I believe that one of the important fields of actually getting together as an interfaith community is to have programs like this, where we can have social programs, so we can serve food to the poor needy, and we can come together and make it work.
I think one of the common threads in all our traditions is food.
Yes,
and that's, you know, food is. I mean, it's life, but it's also where the life of our community. And so I think that is a sort of a funny thing, but a very serious thing, that one of the ways that we come together is around that table of fellowship. And we all have that table as kind of a part of our who we are as religious people.
All faith traditions and all families have celebrations around food. That's very true.
If you have a little time, there is another idea of also what I call parental pool program, where we know the youth today is actually embattled, especially in our schools, pornography, bullying, smoking, drugs, and all that. And every parent goes through this, every parent, irrespective of their religion. So if all the religious ladies, women, come together, irrespective of whatever religion you belong to, in order to parent pool and share ideas of how to combat this, how to work on actually eliminating this or helping the youth go through life and facing all these problems, that would be a great, great opportunity for religions to come together to share ideas.
But we'll also welcome any dad to come and be part of the conversation.
Of course.
And Gay, you said that children were very important to you and that children really are very open. But any advice for parents and caregivers about educating children about the differences and similarities in various faith practices?
I think one of the most important things is that we all could be really grounded in our own religion, in our own belief. And when we're grounded in what we know and what we believe, then we are better able to have the conversation. And the other part is to be open to hear and see another's perspective and to listen.
And when you say grounded, what do you mean by that?
Sure. Actually, I would like to jump in there.
Okay, go
Before
ahead. Good,
we
good.
Do interfaith, we need to do intrafaith. Because intrafaith helps the community members of a particular religion to understand what interfaith is all about. Getting yourself grounded in your religion before you venture out there to meet others. Because sometimes there is the fear of getting ensnared or proselytized into another religion. For that reason, we need interfaith get-togethers, meetings, in order to school ourselves and educate ourselves better in our own faith tradition before we venture outside to meet others to learn about their religion.
I've always said for myself that I've learned more about my own faith through interacting with people of other faiths. Mm-hmm. But I do need that context of my own faith. And I think that is a valid concern that some folks have, that, well, you know, what if my child goes to another place and they're learning about this other faith? Isn't that going to challenge their own faith? Well, it will if you aren't teaching them about
Sure.
your own faith
Sure.
and teaching them, okay, these are things that are different. These are things that are the same. We're under no illusions that we're all the same. We have some things in common, but we have things that are different, and we need to be able to talk about those intelligently and without getting defensive. About you know who's about which one is the right one.
I was suggesting the other time that we have some like scriptures sharing, where we can read stories that are similar in our scriptures together, and see how great, how they connect and relate to us. And through that, we can share our personal stories and find ways of helping each other in a social setting, a very big, nice platform for all religious bodies to get together, share scripture, and then learn how to find solutions for their problems.
I fully agree. There has to be a proactive approach from true believers to not demonize persons who have different faith perspectives. In the long run, we're all brothers and sisters. We're part of the human race. We're part of the family of God, and we have no right to exclude or excommunicate anyone based on a different perspective. Christians have a different perspective. Christians don't always agree on particular theological issues, but we can agree that we're all a part of the family of God. We can agree that we all need to work together to include and bring more people to the table to be a part of that great family.
I think there are some people who would disagree with that, unfortunately, and that's why it's so important that that those of us who do agree speak up. And I think that was, for me, a real an important piece of why that letter to the editor was so important, because I think many people would read a letter like that and say, "Yeah, that I do resonate with that." But so much of what we read in terms of what who chooses to speak up are the naysayers and the negative speakers.
Or can be very polarizing. Exactly. So what would you say to people who are listening today or have read the letter and are doubtful or fearful?
I will jump in and say a little life livened the whole. If you put one live coal into a whole lot, it by fanning and giving it some air and oxygen, it will burn the others, mm-hmm. and then get them all alive. We need to really work harder. Most of the time, things that are good are started by a very few dedicated people. And with their dedication, hard work, devotion, and motivation, they will face the odds, and soon things will be looking great and better. So I know we need to work harder. We need to really do a lot. We'll face opposition and problems. But if we can keep our foot down, our feet down, we can see victory very soon.
How can we live our daily lives to combat Islamophobia and anti-Semitism in order to promote peace, acceptance, and community? There seems to be a rise of that. Any ideas?
I think I can jump in again because I'm the minority here. we cannot gainsay that America is a Christian country. It's a majority Christian country. We can't say, I mean, this is the reality. And so I was saying the other time that for this to work, for Islamophobia to rescind, to get back, to ebb, it behoves the Christian leadership to really educate the Christian populace on the peaceful nature of Islam. Yes, ISIS and the rest are giving us a very bad rap. They are not religious leaders. They are not Muslims.
But so did the claim.
They claim they are not.
Or the crusades.
To go back one step, historically, the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, prognosticated on these people. He said a time will come when a group of people will rise, a young group of people will rise. He said they will call people to Islam, but they are not Muslims. They will slaughter without mercy and compassion. They will have hearts like steel. They will let loose their hair on their shoulders like women. Their names will be like nicknames, Abu something, and they will be connected with a township. So we see Abu something al-Baghdadi, something al-Libi. He gave very, very, what I call, instant picture of what these people are. And if you read it today and look at what is happening, it is shocking. So the companions of the Prophet asked the Prophet, so if a group of people will rise up in the name of Islam and slaughter people mercilessly and do all this in the name of Islam, and you said they are not Muslims, what should we do at that time? He says, hold fast unto the tenets of your religion and fight them with everything you have. Hold fast unto the tenets of your religion and fight them with everything you have. So believe me, if we have to fight them by writing, if we have to fight them by preaching against them, we are all for that. Muslims don't like this because it is not part of the Islamic tradition.
And as you were saying earlier, if you yourself are grounded in your religion, then you know this.
Sure.
And then you are able to live out the true faith.
Sure.
And I think it really comes down to conversation and relationships and getting to know the other. The opposite, I believe, the opposite of love is fear. And fear of the other drives so many hard things. And the more we can become less fearless.
I think we have to really listen to the voices of the public square and be able to discern which are the voices of fear and which are the voices that are working for peace. There's a lot of fear out there, and there are voices that will say on one side that they are not discriminating, and then on the other side they will sow seeds of doubt. They'll sow seeds of, well, I don't know about those people. And I think we have to really be discerning about those voices, and when we, because they're everywhere, and be careful not to let ourselves get drawn in to that sort of suspicion kind of theology and the way of thinking of God and one another.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some opportunities coming up in the Fredericksburg area to get to know each other across faith. And I forgot what I was going to say. I love when that happens on live radio. So we will just come back and continue the conversation. This is Town Talk on WFEA News Talk 1230. With me today are the Reverend Joe Hensley from St. George's Episcopal Church and his colleague Gay Ron, Reverend Gay Ron from St. George's, also Sheikh Rashid from the Ummah of Fredericksburg, and Reverend Dobines from Shiloh Baptist Church Old Site. We're going to finish up our today conversation, it could go on for days, about interfaith relations and how to bridge differences. Specifically, there are two events coming up shortly in the Fredericksburg area that people can get involved with. And they are?
Well, there's a group of us that's hoping to plan a gathering in the middle of the day on Thursday, May 7th, which has been declared a national day of prayer. And so there is a group of us that's going to try and get a gathering together in the middle of the day that would be interfaith. So we will have more to announce about that soon.
We'll watch for that. And then there's a Stop Hunger.
Stop Hunger Now is a it's wonderful. It began out of North Carolina with a bunch of college students, and it's growing larger and larger, and we're hoping to have an interfaith Stop Hunger Now food packaging event that will be so large that we'll need a hangar in an airport, and we will our goal is to maybe pack 20,000 meals that will then be sent to places in the world.
And you can watch Fredericksburg Today and WFVA's Facebook pages for information about that. As we finish up, let's talk about the people who've been listening today who are still thinking, this just doesn't sound right to me, this interfaith dialogue, this. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them? Maybe they're fearful.
Well, to those who are Christians, as I am, I would say look at the example of Jesus, who reached out beyond and going beyond his comfort zone and with purposeful intentionality. I went to the Samaritans, went to the disease, went to the poor, went to women, went to those people that social mores and traditions said you shouldn't have any involvement with. If Jesus is our example, then that's the example that we should follow. We should not allow anyone else to do our thinking for us. We should listen to the voice of a reason. We should listen to the voice of inclusion. We should reach beyond our comfort zones and reach out to our brother and our sister. Jesus talked from the very beginning of his ministry to the end, and even beyond, for those of us who believe him as to be the Savior, that we're all brothers and sisters, and we have to make efforts to reach out beyond. And so for those who have others in their ears saying, don't listen, you shouldn't do that, does that line up with the example of Jesus? Does that line up with the example of Christianity?
Anyone else?
I think the key is to put a face on it. And intellectual growth is important. Learning about other faiths is important. But until you actually know somebody, it doesn't really come down to earth. And so for people who are saying, I don't know about all this, I think that finding a way to have to get to know somebody who's different, I think that's been shown time and time again when people are dug in on a position or fearful about something. It's when they actually get to know someone who is different, coming from that different place, that has a way of opening hearts.
Interfaith relations and how to bridge differences. We've been talking today with the Reverend Joe Hensley and the Reverend Gay Ron from St. George's Episcopal Church in downtown Fredericksburg. Sheikh Rashid, Director of Islamic Ummah of Fredericksburg, and Reverend Dr. Aaron Dobines from Shiloh Baptist Church, Old Site. We also today want to give a shout out to Rabbi Jeremy Weisblatt, who is a part of this conversation earlier and could not be here today. But we've been talking about interfaith relations and how to bridge differences. We thank you for listening to Town Talk on WFVA News Talk 1230.